The reading is taken from Luke chapter 24, verses 36 to 49. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled, and why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. He said to them, "This is what I told you whilst I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I am going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray as we continue our studies in the Gospel of Luke. Heavenly Father, as we come to your word and this account of the first Easter Sunday, we pray that you would meet with each one of us at our point of need. Please speak to us and show us Jesus Christ. Amen. I once told a group of schoolchildren that Christmas is not my favourite day of the year. They were clearly shocked and regarded this as a scandalous admission for a clergyman to make. So I quickly explained that Easter is my favourite day of the year, and not because of the chocolate, but because on Easter Day we remember an event that really happened and that changes everything, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Now the message of Easter is wonderful every day of the year, but this year, in the midst of the COVID pandemic, it is especially vital. We live in times of uncertainty. We don't know when this lockdown will end. But the message of Easter gives us certainty that there is a God who loves us and that we can be right with him. We live in fearful times, but the message of Easter gives us confidence even in the face of death. We live in frustrating times. We're stuck at home. But the resurrection of Jesus gives us a purpose that no isolation can take away from us. So I'm delighted that we can look today at Dr. Luke's account of the first Easter. He shows us two things. First, the evidence for the resurrection, how we know it really happened. And second, the significance of the resurrection, what it really means. First then, the evidence for the resurrection. Many people dismiss Jesus' resurrection as a myth, but before we do that, we should think carefully. You see, it's clear that the disciples believed that Jesus had risen. That much is certain. They devoted their lives to proclaiming the message of the resurrection. They died for sticking to that truth. So before we dismiss the resurrection as a myth, we need to ask, what persuaded these first disciples that Jesus had risen, and how convincing was it? This is what Luke tells us. Our passage begins on the evening of the first Easter Sunday. The Friday before, Jesus had been crucified, had died and was buried. That Sunday morning, the women had gone to Jesus' tomb and found it empty. And Jesus had appeared to two of the disciples on the road to Emmaus. Now in verse 36, we join the disciples together. While they were still talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking that they saw a ghost. Now, it's important to notice that the disciples did not immediately assume Jesus had risen. They were not gullible or credulous. Just like us, they knew the sad reality. Once you die, you stay dead. They had to be persuaded by undeniable evidence that Christ had risen. And Luke tells us what it was that convinced them. In verse 38, Jesus said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe it because of joy and amazement, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" And they gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. Luke stresses that they were persuaded by the evidence of their senses. They heard Jesus, they saw him, they touched him, they even watched him eat. This was not just wishful thinking, nor a dream or a vision. It was their senses that told them that Christ had risen back from the dead with a real transformed physical body. Now, I love the story of Lee Strobel. He was an atheist and the legal editor of the Chicago Tribune when his agnostic wife became a Christian believer. He writes that two words shot through his mind. The first was an expletive and the second was divorce. But impressed by the impact that her faith had on her life, he decided to investigate for himself the evidence for Christianity and the resurrection of Jesus. This is what he wrote recently in the Wall Street Journal. "For nearly 2 years, I explored the minutiae of the historical data on whether Easter was myth or reality. I didn't merely accept the New Testament at face value. I was determined only to consider facts that were well supported historically. As my investigation unfolded, my atheism began to buckle." Well, do look on the resources pages on our St. Mary's website for more information on the evidence for the resurrection. But we're seeing here part of it in Luke. It's clear the disciples believed Jesus rose. They weren't gullible. They didn't jump to that conclusion. Like us, they had to be persuaded. And they tell us here what it was that persuaded them. It's really convincing. They saw Jesus. They heard him. They touched him. They watched him eat. It would have convinced us too. There are good reasons to believe that on that first Easter Sunday, the unthinkable, the amazing, the wonderful happened. God, who made the universe and gives us life, raised his Son from the dead. Well, that's the evidence for the resurrection. Let's move, second of all, to the significance of the resurrection, what it really means. Now, I could speak all day about the wonderful implications of the death and resurrection of Jesus, but I must be disciplined and limit myself to just three things. First of all, forgiveness is available. Jesus explains to his disciples that his death and resurrection are the fulfillment of the Old Testament scriptures, of all that God had promised. And in verse 46, he told them, "This is what is written, the Christ will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations, beginning at Jerusalem." Forgiveness is available. Now, this is what we need more than anything else. You see, the Bible tells us that all of us, without exception, have treated God appallingly. He gives us life and breath and everything else. But every day we choose to do the very things that we sense he doesn't want us to do. We refuse to let God be God in our lives. We see the consequences of this rebellion in conflict in our world and families, in pride and selfishness in our own hearts. And until our sins are forgiven, they separate us from God, who is perfect. They leave us facing his just judgment. But in his love, God's own Son, Jesus Christ, came into the world to pay for our sins as he died on the cross. He came to pay a debt he did not owe, because we owed a debt we could not pay. And he rose again to show that the debt had been paid in full. The death and resurrection of Jesus make forgiveness possible. But forgiveness has to be received. In 1830, a man called George Wilson was sentenced to death in America for a dangerous armed robbery. His influential friends appealed to President Andrew Jackson, who offered him a pardon. Now, you would expect that to be the end of the matter, but for reasons of pride, Wilson refused to accept the pardon. The case came to the Supreme Court, and the Chief Justice ruled that for a pardon to be effective, it must be accepted. George Wilson would not accept the pardon, and he was hanged. For a pardon to be effective, it must be accepted. And that's why verse 47 says, repentance and forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all nations. Before God forgives us, we must accept his pardon through repentance. Well, what does that word repentance mean? It means turning back to God. Repentance is turning from life in defiance of God to life under God's loving rule. It's saying to God, I'm sorry that I've not let you be God in my life. Help me from now on to live as you command. My friends, don't be like that George Wilson who refused the pardon that he was offered. God offers us forgiveness, but we must accept it through repentance. Have you turned back to God in repentance? And is that repentance an ongoing mark of your life today? It is the most wonderful thing to know the forgiveness of God, to know that our sins are washed away, our relationship with God is restored, that he's with us and he's for us. If we've turned back to God in repentance, that is what we have. The death and resurrection of Jesus Christ mean that forgiveness is available. Now, it also means that death is defeated. This is the second wonderful significance of the resurrection of Christ. Not only is forgiveness available, also death is defeated. In June 1815, Wellington was fighting Napoleon on the battlefield at Waterloo. Back in England, people waited on tenterhooks to hear the result. At last, lookouts saw a signal ship in the channel. But fog was falling fast, and they could just read the message, Wellington defeated. The disastrous news started to spread. It was only a few hours later that the fog lifted and the full message could be read. Wellington defeated the French. Should say apologies to our dear neighbours if you're watching us from France here today. Well, on that first Good Friday, the message seemed to be Christ defeated. He was crucified. It seemed that sin and death had triumphed. But 3 days later, the full message could be seen. Not Christ defeated, but Christ defeated death. Easter shows us that our God is stronger than death itself, that Christ has come through death and into the new life of eternity. If our faith is in him, he can bring us through death as well and into eternal life with him. Now, we've been confronted as a nation in the past few weeks with our absolute powerlessness in the face of death. For all our scientific progress, we can't control it or avoid it. And we have seen the fear of death in those around us. But if we are Christian believers, we need not fear it. Even if the worst happens in this life and we die, we know that Christ has come through death, and he will bring us through it as well into his glorious new creation. Now, this is not just wishful thinking, it is based on history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ in history. Death is defeated. Well, now for one more implication of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Witness is commanded. Forgiveness is available. Death is defeated. And witness is commanded. We'll look at verse 48. Jesus said to his disciples, "You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." Jesus has commanded his disciples in every age to be witnesses to his death and resurrection, and he equips us with power, with the Holy Spirit on high, to do it. Imagine that somehow you developed in your kitchen an effective cure for COVID-19. This would not be news that you could keep to yourself. You would have a duty to share it with the world. While the news that Christ is risen, that forgiveness is available and death is defeated, is not news we can keep to ourselves. We have a duty to share it. How can we do that? Well, we need to keep filling our hearts with the truths of Easter and celebrating them so that they are ready to flow out from us. We need to find good ways that work for us to let people know that we believe in Christ and that it's not just a private matter, that we're ready to speak about what he has done for us. This time of isolation gives us particular opportunities. For example, is there a family we know we could give a children's Easter book to? Are there adults we could give a book to? Perhaps the biography of Shane Taylor, who was with us for Real Lives. You can find that on Amazon. Are we able to share links to these Sunday services or to the Real Lives talks with those who we know? Is there someone who might be ready to study the Bible with us over Zoom? The news of the resurrection of Jesus is too good and too important to keep to ourselves. Witness is commanded, and Jesus has equipped us by his Holy Spirit with the power to do it. Well, what an encounter Jesus had with his disciples on the evening of that first Easter Sunday. It shows us something of the evidence for the resurrection. The disciples were persuaded by seeing Jesus, touching him and watching him eat. And it shows us something of the significance of the resurrection. Forgiveness is available and death is defeated. What an encouragement in these difficult times. We can know that Christ is risen. We can know that we're right with God. We can know that we have a future with him beyond the grave. But Easter is not only an encouragement, it's also a challenge. Don't be like George Wilson, who refused that presidential pardon. Each of us must one day stand before the risen Christ, our judge, and there is one way to be safe on that day, and that is to turn to him now in repentance. Well, for those of us who've done that, we know the joy of sins forgiven, of death defeated, and we also know that witness is commanded. How can we use this time to bear witness to the life-changing truths of the death and resurrection of Jesus? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that on the first Easter Sunday you raised your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, from the dead. Thank you that through him and through trusting in him, forgiveness is available and death is defeated. Please help us to celebrate these truths in our hearts so that we are ready in the power of your Holy Spirit to bear witness to what he has done for us. Amen.